We were going to have an exchange in Idaho. We were going to have the Obamacare exchange in Idaho, or we were going to have Idaho exchange in Idaho. And, you know, I would ask anybody listening to this program to tell me when we have ever invited any federal agency into Idaho to run anything in Idaho.
The new numbers show 76,000 people signed up. The federal goal was 40,000 people. So as someone who does not like Obamacare, but who set up the state-run exchange, right, how do you interpret those numbers?
I interpret those numbers that they have faith in Idahoans because Idahoans are running it. I see these other states that chose not to have their own state exchange and to have the federal government do it. I see them having huge problems, and so I would say maybe not as many Idahoans would have signed up had it been the federal exchange instead of Idaho.
Senator Fulcher has said that he's certain that you will expand Medicaid if given a third term. You said in your State of the State in January that you're still studying other states. If you're reelected, do you think you'll ultimately expand Medicaid here?
Well, that's not going to be up to me. The task force that we put together to take a look at it and study it, and that's the reason we delayed. We saw how the Medicaid expansion was having disastrous results in some of the other states. So that's why we decided to wait and see how, if any state successful, and how successful are they. And we've seen some pretty dynamic private sector ideas taking place in some other states, like Indiana, like Arkansas. So that task force will study those other states. We come back to the legislature. I'm not prepared to tell anybody or the legislature yet what I would recommend until I see the results of the task force.
The Department of Health and Welfare estimates there are more than 70,000 Idahoans who don't qualify for Medicaid right now, but they make too much money to qualify for subsidies to buy a health insurance plan through the exchange. If some of those people are listening right now to this conversation,
right,
what's your message for them?
Obviously, that gap that was caused by the rules and regulations in Obamacare is one of the things that the Republicans have said, let's repeal most of this and repair it. You know, we have a responsibility in this nation to have equitable treatment under the law of everybody. And in this case, the gap that they left in there was not fair.
Recent report shows the state of Idaho has cut spending for higher education by about 40% since 2008. Now, a small portion of that will be restored when the new budget takes effect on July the 1st. What would you do in a third term to address the cost of higher education?
I think much of what we did when we created the College of Western Idaho, we reduced increased the opportunity for a lot of students to go to school at $125, $130 a credit hour for their first 2 years. What we've added to the high school optimum is dual credit. So students that have some time when they're juniors and seniors in high school can start taking college credits online. So that maybe in some cases they'll have their first 2 years of college finished by the time they graduate. No question about it. We made some tough decisions during the recession, but it wasn't just higher education. And so if we were going to balance the budget, we were either going to have to raise taxes, which would have hurt our ability to grow the economy, which would have hurt our ability to put people back to work, because at one time during the recession, we had almost 9% unemployment. And it worked for us, Scott, because now we have 5.2% unemployment.
But I know there's going to be a lot of people who hear that and they say a lot of the jobs we've created pay very low. Idaho's ranked 49th, 50th, depending on what rankings you look at, of state wages in terms of what workers here make. So we've been creating jobs, but they haven't been very well-paying jobs.
Well, a lot of them are brand new jobs and brand new industries. And I don't know about you, but when I was first in the employment pool as a young man, in fact, as a teenager, I was paid according to how much I could improve the value of my employer's service or product. And I would tell you that I don't think I got more than one or two paychecks before my pay went up, because the more I learned the job, the better I could produce for that employer, and I was worth more value to them in delivering that service or building that product.
Let's talk a little bit about gay marriage, Idaho's ban on gay marriage, mm-hmm, specifically in the Add the Words protest. Do you sense any sort of real changes coming up in the state of Idaho on those two issues in the next several years?
you know, it's not unusual for, whether it's the Chamber of Commerce or the Farm Bureau or the insurance industry or whoever it may be that has an interest in a particular bill or a particular issue, to get a venue and then ask the legislature to come to that venue, and ask the governor to come to that venue, and then they give their ideas what they want to see, what kind of legislation that they want to see. But I would hope that those efforts next year, would call a meeting with the legislature in their own backyard, in their own venue.
Would you go?
Sure. I told them I'd go this year.
How comfortable are you with the direction of the GOP in this state in the last several years?
Well, you know, the GOP, those that wanted to close the primary, and I disagreed with that. I thought I'm kind of a Ronald Reagan failbat kind of guy, that the bigger the tent, you know, those people that I agree with 80% of the only 80% of the time are not my enemy. I think the Republican Party in Idaho needs to focus on our problems instead of those things that we disagree on all the time. There's a lot of things that we agree on.
Do you think that the direction that it's gone more to the right in the last several years has taken the party to a place that doesn't necessarily line up with the average thinking of the average Republican?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's probably going to be a signal of where those people who vote in the Republican primary, where they want the party to go. That's why I think the election on May 20th is about the heart and soul of the Republican Party, as well as about what kind of a champion the Republican Party wants going into November.